Today is Saturday, the 25th of May, 2024. We are all gathered here for the Mindfulness for Beginners in English conducted by Nisaranavanaya. I would like to welcome Venerable Homagamadhamma Kusala Thero for the session, as usual, for his guidance. And we would also like to welcome everyone who's joining via the Zoom session, and also via Facebook live stream, and those who might be recording, downloading to listen later. As usual, our program will commence with an in-session practice of mindfulness guided by Bhante, and then we will move on to the talk by Bhante, lastly to the Q&A session and any reports from listeners, and guided by Bhante again. So, to begin the session, I'd like to invite Venerable Homagamadhamma Kusala Thero to start the in-session mindfulness.
Thanks, Sonali. Hello, everyone. Today, I thought that we can do a walking session since we haven't done a walking session for a long time. So we'll take some time to do a mindful walking session in the beginning. For this, you need some space where you can walk in a comfortable manner without obstacles where you should be able to walk. So find some space, maybe like 10-15 feet would do. Once you have this space, you can start walking. Walk in a comfortable manner and try to be attentive of your walking. Initially, you might not notice anything, but just keep walking and keep paying attention. After a while, you may start to notice that your body is walking. There are walking sensations become prominent in your body. Maybe the texture, temperature of the ground might become prominent. In addition, which parts of your feet is touching the ground, these details might become prominent. So what we do is we try to be conscious, be mindful of our walking body. We try to take more mindful, conscious steps. Time to time, our mind wanders. It goes to thoughts. It goes to surrounding sounds, sights. It goes to storytelling. These things happen. It is natural. This is the natural behavior of the mind. But after a while, you have the ability to realize that you have gotten lost. With that realization, you can again return back to the walking. Again, notice how the body walks. Again, notice the texture, the temperature of the ground. That way you try to continue your mindfulness for a few more steps. Again, without you even knowing, your mind gets lost in thoughts, other things. But time after time, you have the ability to return back to the walking. Time after time, you have the ability to continue few steps mindfully. So this is the practice that we are doing. Don't expect your mind to be 100% present with the walking. It will always go away. It will always get distracted. But you have the ability to realize that distraction and you have the ability to return back to the walking. That is what we are exercising when we practice mindfulness. So as a group, let's try to join a walking session. Okay, everyone. Now let's return back to our seats.
Thank you, Bhante. Next on the agenda is the Dhamma talk by Bhante. We have the topic Unplug Yourself that we started last week. And for that, we invite Venerable Bhante to start the Dhamma talk.
Hello, everyone. We have some time to discuss the topic. It's a continuation from last week. I think we touched the initial part of the topic, and today we will try to focus on a different aspect of the same topic. Now, when we think about this topic, it's unplugging yourself. It's stopping the run. Usually we are in this rat race, non-stop, continuous rat race we are in. We do bodily actions, verbal actions, mental actions, non-stop rat race. We always continue. One thing done, then we have 10 more things to complete. That's how we always are. So when we think about unplugging yourself, it's basically stopping these bodily, verbal, and mental actions. That's what we are trying to do. And when you stop this running, when you stop this rat race, when you take a break from it, you feel refreshed. You feel energetic. That's the very idea of this topic. So every one of us, we should develop this habit of unplugging ourselves. Just for a few minutes, we unplug ourselves. We stop this rat race. That ability is very important if you are concerned about your physical and mental health. If you want to take care of your physical and mental health, this unplugging is very important. Otherwise, what will happen is that you'll continue for a few weeks, few months, and at the end of the day, you might fall sick. For days, you can't return back to the normal. For days, you are down with this illness. So these things happen. Sometimes the mental illnesses happen. And maybe for years, you have to get some aid. You have to do counseling. So these things are there. So it's better that you focus, that you be conscious of your bodily and mental health and try to spend some time daily trying to unplug yourself. What you have to do is you don't have to do much. Instead, you just have to stop doing. That's what you have to do, right? So instead of doing the bodily actions, instead of verbal actions, instead of mental actions, we simply try to stop everything. That's what we are doing, right? So when we, let's say, during the walking, although the body walks, we don't have a destination. Usually, whenever we walk, we have a destination. That's our priority. But here, we don't have a destination. So although the body walks, you don't have a destination. You are not going somewhere. Instead, you try to appreciate. You try to be with the walking. That's what you are doing. Then even the verbal speaking, you become silent. You appreciate the silence. In your mind also, certain thoughts, inner chatter might appear, but most of them, you try to prevent intentional actions. These habitual actions are there. We will get to that topic a bit later in the same talk. This inner chatter is there, but what we try to do is, we try to prevent the intentional things, intentional actions. Voluntary actions we prevent. Involuntary things are there. That's fine. Among all these things, we try to be mindful. then even the sitting, you sit in a comfortable manner, you come into a stillness. You stop talking, you become silent. When you are still, you can feel these involuntary mental actions like inner chatter, remembering, thinking thoughts. These things happen. But among all these things, you become the observer and simply be with the sitting. This is the suggestion for unplugging yourself. Every day, you have to at least spend 20 minutes doing a sitting session. That's for your mental health. Every day, spend at least 20 minutes of doing a walking session. Nowadays, they say that every hour of living, you need 5 minutes of unplugging yourself. That's the numbers given. Every hour of living, you need 5 minutes of unplugging. So when you calculate, it comes to probably around 2 hours, I guess. You might feel that's too much. That's fine. At least try to do 20 minutes of sitting, 20 minutes of walking. Make a habit daily to do this much for your mental and bodily health. That is important. And when you do, what is the training that we are doing? It is important that we become clear in our heads about the training that we are doing. Most people, when they are asked about the practice, about the training, they say focusing the mind to a single object. That is how they introduce the practice. The practice of mindfulness, they say you have to focus your attention to a single object. Let it be the breath. Let it be the steps. That's what you do. But actually, that's not the mindfulness practice. That is more like concentration. The real practice that we are recommending is simply becoming aware, becoming mindful that of the present moment. That very awareness, in the field of awareness, you might feel various objects of attention appearing. Various objects of appear. The surrounding sounds, thought, bodily sensations, all these things at the bodily sensation. Let it be walking, let it be sitting. We try to prioritize that very bodily sensation. But you have to be sure, be clear in your head that we are not trying to bring our attention to a single object. We are not concentrating on a single object. That's not the practice we are doing. Instead, we try to become mindful of the walking and sitting. And as a result, as an additional advantage, we can bring our mind to a single object and we can continue with that object for a certain period. But again, the mind gets distracted. Again, it goes away with the thoughts. Again, remembering incidents. That's fine. That too is part of the practice. Repetitively getting distracted and bringing your attention back to the walking. Repetitively getting distracted, bringing your attention back to the sitting. Repetitively getting distracted and bringing your attention back to the task at hand. That is the real practice. After bringing your attention steps, few breaths, few moments, again you get distracted, but again you become aware and simply be present. That's the very idea. That's the very practice. So you have to make sure that you are clear in your head. Especially when you go teach somebody, this is very important. Now you might wonder, I'm not going to teach anybody. That's the initial thought you get. But it's good to teach somebody. When you teach somebody, you have to be clear in your head. The most benefit will come to you when you try to teach somebody. They would ask some weird question about the practice. If you are clear in your head, you might be able to answer that. Right? So that way, we practice unplugging ourselves. That way, we practice stopping for a moment. That way, we practice escaping from this rat race, this continuous rat race, right? So first you have to be clear in your head. You should be able to say it to somebody else in simple words, explain it to them in simple words. Some people, when they talk about the practice, they use really complicated words, right? With those words, they try to survive because they are not clear in their head what they are saying. So instead, they have to go take refuge in complicated words. That way, they have to survive teaching the practice because they don't know what this practice is. They are not clear in their head. If you are clear in your head, if you know what you are doing, then you can explain it in simple words. Even a little child can understand this simplicity. Simply walking and be with that walking. Simply sitting and be with that sitting. Doing your daily activities and simply be with that. That very practice we are doing. Now, past week, we had a lot of programs, introductory programs about mindfulness in different organizations, mainly public sector. So these people, they were totally new to the practice and they had no idea what they are going to do, right? And they had only limited time. Most of them are 1 hour programs. So we have to go there and give this message in a brief manner and get them to do the walking, sitting, and at the end of the 1 hour program have to have a small discussion as well. So that was the 1 hour structure, 1 hour program. So you have to explain the practice to this new crowd, then do the mindful walking, sitting, then at the end of the program you have to have a small discussion. Right, so this is brief program, you have to be clear in your head. So somehow I did few. And after one, there's this gentleman who came to me and said, "Mante, you gave us the message in simple terms. You did it within 1 hour. But I was wondering how many hours of training have gone into that message. How many hours of training you have to do? How many hours of research you have to do in order to explain that message in a simple manner? In order to explain that message in 1 hour. That was his thinking. That's true. Many more hours of research, many more hours of practice have gone into it. And only then you can explain it in simple terms. Only then you can give it to a new audience without confusion. All right. So that very ability, it is helpful, the most helpful for our practice, not for somebody else. Don't think that you are wasting your time. Instead, you are purifying your own training. You have to be clear in your head. That's why we even recommend the reflection reports. When you write reflection reports, you have to be clear in your head. Now, yesterday, I guess, or the day before, there's this program that person was trying to convey an important message, the most important part of the meditation experience, but utterly confused in their head. So end up telling something that nobody could understand. I can clearly see that this is the most important part of the practice session, but that person can't explain it properly. Why? Lack of experience. You are not clear in your head. You don't know how to put it into words. So that's why even the written reports are important, reflection reports. When you put your experience into words, you have to be clear in your head, right? That reflection is important. Again and again, you are reflecting on your own practice. Again and again, you have to pick and choose what to present in your report. You have to prioritize certain things over others. That prioritization is important. That reflection is important. That's why we tell people to write frequent reflection reports. Tell their meditation experience in a short, concise manner and get some advice. That way, when you continue, when the practice becomes clear in your head, it is utterly relaxing. This meditation or this practice, it is not trying. It is not so hard. Quite the opposite. This is relaxing, right? You don't have to do much. This is your relaxation time. You do your walking. It's not a burden. Instead, it's like going to a beach and walking there, appreciating the present moment. Then the sitting also, it's a relaxing time. It's not a burden. Sit in a comfortable manner and try to appreciate that sitting moment. Whatever the activities we do, we try to pay attention and simply appreciate that very activity. So this is what we are doing. This is the very practice. So it's always, there is a learning curve. There might be beginners. There might be seasoned practitioners here. Whoever, there is a learning curve. Again and again, repetitively, you have to do the practice, present your experience, get advice, discuss again and again. This loop should continue. When you continue it for a few years, few months, then you realize the practice has worked. Now you are a different person. Now you feel a different level of stress, right? So that's how it is. Now these government people, public sector, they say that they are under a lot of stress. When they start practicing mindfulness, they say that they can't maintain their attention with the walking. All the impending presentations, recent incidents, the pressure, all these family problems, these things come as thoughts, starts storytelling, inner chatter happens. So these people, they complain. They are saying that I can't be mindful. I have to stop this inner chatter. I have to stop these thoughts. That's how I have to be mindful. I can't be mindful with these thoughts. I can't be mindful with this inner chatter. That's how they say. But that's not the true practice. You can't stop inner chatter. Then maybe you have to stop your brain. You have to stop your body, right? Maybe you have to drink hemlock or something, right? So that way only you can stop it. That's not the way. Instead, the body works. Involuntary actions are there in the body. So they become apparent when you stop all the voluntary actions, right? In our body, we stop voluntary actions. In our mind, we stop voluntary actions. When we stop all the voluntary actions, the involuntary ones become more prominent. That is natural. So you have to understand that this is the behavior of the mind. These are involuntary actions. Simply be mindful, conscious. That is the very idea. I am utterly distracted. That very realization is so precious. Now, yesterday, the day before, I guess, I'm confused in my calendar. Somehow, one person was saying that during the walking time, I got distracted 28 times. That was the experience. So that very realization is so precious. Earlier also you got distracted, but you had no accounts. You didn't know. You are not conscious. Now, when the distractions happen, you keep count. Right? So that's how the insight will appear. That's how the practice will go. You know that your mind is distracted. That very knowing is so precious. That is the beginning of this practice. Now that favorite TV show, Kung Fu from 80s, that the grasshopper, the student, comes to his master and says, "Master, I am puzzled." Then the master answers, "That's the beginning of wisdom. You feel utterly confused. You feel utterly puzzled when you start this practice. You realize how unmindful this mind is, how distracted this mind is, how much of a headache this mind is. That very realization will bring a lot of confusion. But you have to understand that's the beginning of wisdom. So in your practice, if you are confused, that's a very good sign. After sitting for 1 hour, if you are confused, then it's a very good sign. You start to see the real nature, real behavior of this mind. That is the very idea. So inner chatter might happen, storytelling, various things are there, but you don't have to get rid of them. They are involuntary actions. Initially, you feel that there is some part, voluntary part is there, and some gray area is there. That feeling, that experience you might have initially. But more hours you put into the practice, you will start to separate the two. You should be able to know which are the thinking thoughts and which are the happening thoughts. Right? That difference you can identify with many more hours of practice. Initially, there's a gray area. You feel like, is this involuntary or is this voluntary? There's a voluntary part in here. Something like that you feel. But with many hours of practice, you can clearly separate the two. Most of these actions are involuntary. They have past causes. They have past causes. So you can't really do anything about it. Instead, what you have to do is you have to create present causes. You have to create, which will change the thing in the future for the better. That's the very idea. So whenever you are practicing, whenever you are observing your breath, whenever you are conscious of your steps, you are creating causes for the future. Present, you are creating the causes for the future. And with that, with some time, you'll start to see a changing behavior of your mind. With few days, few weeks of practice, you start to see now you can be mindful more and more. Now you can catch few steps, catch few breath cycles, catch few bites while you eat. That ability will grow. So don't worry about these involuntary actions. Let them be while you try to practice mindfulness, right? That way, if you continue for a while, then you see that the behavior of this mind, this habitual behavior of this mind is changing for the better. That very idea is important. And more you practice, then you realize that you have to use certain tools in this practice. What are the tools? Now, some people think that this is more like few months course, right? You have to cover these things and I'm done. That's how they think about the practice. But Buddha's advice is, he asks us to continue for at least like 7 years. 7 years might be a long period for you. But still, he's not asking probably for full day practice. He might be asking for a few hours daily and try to continue with your life. Try to get involved in some good deeds like, you know, discussions about the practice, then listening to Dhamma talks, practicing for a couple of hours daily, being mindful in your daily life. That way, we have to continue. You can't power through. That's not possible. If you try that, then you end up exhausted. You end up broken. Most people who try to meditate, they end up broken. Why? They are pushing too much. They try to power through this. No, you have to allow the powerful force to be while trying to change this skillfully. If you go head to head with this force, then you might not be able to survive. Bullfighting, when you see those videos, the bull is so powerful. That is the habitual behavior of this mind. It is so powerful. It has so many years, so many eons of momentum, right? So if you go head to head with a bull, you are doomed. That's for sure. right? So those bullfighters, they are not going head to head with the bull. Instead, what they do is, when the bull comes with so much power and energy, they move in a swift manner, and you know, they let the bull go in some different direction. That entire power the bull created is wasted because this person has moved in the last moment, right? So that way they are exhausting the bull. That is how they face the bull, that powerful energy, that is how they face, right? So the practitioner too should develop this ability. Time to time in your life, these type of struggles might come. They are like a raging bull towards you, right? So when that happens, you don't go head to head with it. You lay low for a while. Maybe for a few days, you have to even give up your practice. You have to focus on the problem and somehow try to survive. But after a few days, few weeks, you again return to your normal course. Again, try to continue with the usual practice. So these skills are important. Getting involved in some good deeds like discussions, listening to Dhamma talks are important. Practicing for a couple of hours, it's important. Because most of our lives, they are full of negativity, right? You gossip, you have so many problems, you always think about those problems. You have to go to work, maybe it's a toxic workplace, right? You have family problems, maybe there's some toxic environment there as well. So everywhere, most of the time, the negativity is there, right? So when we have so much negativity in our lives, if you start powering through, it is not that feasible. Instead, what you have to do is, you know that I have majority of the time I have negativity in my life. But how can I make this change? Maybe a couple of hours of practice. That's a good starting point. Being mindful in your daily life, that's a good way to get rid of the negativity, at least feeding the negativity. When you're mindful, you're not feeding that negativity, right? So that way you have to make gradual changes, little by little, every day. You practice for some time. If you can't do a couple of hours, at least do like 20 minutes of walking, 20 minutes of sitting. Start there. Gradually when you do it, that impact will come into your life. That positive change will come into your life. The practice will help you to move towards the positivity, right? So that way, gradually you start. Gradually you spend a couple of hours daily and you continue with your usual life. Don't start to fight that usual life. Most people, they become crippled when they start meditation. They start fighting the people at home. They say, you are too loud, I can't meditate, you people talk all the time. All these complaints go. And when people come with such complaints, I tell them, you are the meditator, not them. Right? You have to adjust your shape according to the cup, like water, be like water. Right? You have to adjust your shape according to the situation. You are the meditator. They are not the meditators. So you can't expect them to change. You can't expect them to adjust. Instead, you adjust yourself. People are drunk. I'm not talking about alcohol only. People are drunk. So you have to, certain occasions, you have to behave like a drunken person. You are not drunk, but you have to behave like that. That's the way you have to deal with this society. You have to be skillful. If you start fighting everything, that won't help. That is the issue, right? I remember during our university time, a lot of boys, right? So drinking is their hobby. Whenever they go to parties and stuff, drinking, that's only hobby, right? There was this one person, he doesn't drink. But when the young people, they start dancing, when they start playing after drunk, being drunk, this person is the worst. He appears to be the most drunken person, dancing, doing all the crazy things like that, right? But when, if you know the person, you know that he is not drunk. He acts like a drunken person among the drunken world, right? So that ability is important. If you start fighting that world, then it won't help you. And said, you are the meditator. You have the ability to adjust yourself according to the situation. So you act like a drunken person. The world is drunk, so you too might have to act sometimes, right? That flexibility should be there in a meditator. Otherwise, you are crippling yourself. You are creating additional problems. That's not the way. That's not the way of the practice. Instead, the flexibility should increase. You are not rigid anymore. The friction should reduce. You are not fighting everything anymore, right? That change should happen. Otherwise, how could you change this powerful force, this habitual behavior of your mind? That's not possible. So what we suggest is continue with your lives, but every day do some positive influence. Positive means not doing offerings, not doing, you know, Vesak lanterns. That's not what we are saying. Instead, simply practice. Now I had to go to Colombo last couple of days. It's like utter confusion, right? People are celebrating Buddha. How do they celebrate? They are drunk. They make a lot of noises. They have these weird horns, right? They make weird sounds. They scream. They go to various places. They eat. Even the people who are offering the food, they are drunk, right? So this is Vesak. This is how they celebrate Buddha, right? So many noises, not the silence. So many colors, not the colorless nature, right? That's how it is. That's how the world is. You can't do much about it. Instead, you change yourself. You change your attitude gradually, not within a day, not within a week. Gradually, the practice will help you. The practice will support. I prefer continual mindfulness instead of continuous mindfulness. I prefer continual improvement instead of continuous improvement. That is the reality. That is the feasible one, right? If you say continuously mindful, that is not feasible. Continual mindfulness you can do, right? If you say continuous improvement, that is not feasible, right? Continual improvements you can do. That's the way of the practice. Now somebody was asking me, Bhante, you are such to be mindful. You said that every day there'll be like 20,000 breath cycles. How many can you be mindful? You asked. Now if I start observing 20,000 breath cycles, then I can't do anything else. I'll be crippled due to the practice because I am always observing the breath. I'm 100% mindful. I can't do anything else. That's that person's problems, but haven't even started the practice. That is the funny thing, right? So I told that person, no need to catch the 20,000 breaths, the whole amount of breath cycles. Catch 100 at least, 200. Can you at least do that? Can you at least catch couple of breath cycles? That way you have to start, right? We are not asking you to be mindful 100% of the time. We are not asking for continuous mindfulness. We are asking continual mindfulness, right? That is feasible. That is practical, right? So that way, you have to gradually work towards this. Gradually spend few hours every day. Do your practice. Live your life. Again, tomorrow, you do a couple of hours of practice. Live your life. Try to get involved in these type of practical discussions, not theoretical discussions. Instead, practical discussions about the mindfulness or the practice. Right, listening to a Dhamma talk that is practical in the sense, not some deep theory. That way, if you continue for a while, continue for a couple of months, couple of years, then you realize the habitual behavior of mind has changed. That is how it will happen, right? Even the structure of your brain is changing. New neural connections are creating, right? Change your mind, change your brain, they say, right? Even the body is changing. That is how the practice will evolve, right? So you have to give time for these changes to happen. If you try to power through within a week, within a month, that's not how it works. Most of the time you get discouraged and give up. That's not how it should work. Instead, you continue. You know what the practice is. Every day you spend some time. You live your life. That way you have to continue few months, few years. And when you do that, one day suddenly it will hit you. You'll realize that I have changed. The behavior of my mind is changed. I am experiencing lower levels of stress. I am having less friction functioning in this world. So those changes will become apparent to you in time, right? So that's the very idea. That's how you should do this practice. It's a long-term project, but it's a project that's worth doing. I'm sure you have spent so much time to useless things in your life, doing useless things, doing useless activities. So many years, so many eons you have spent. So it's not so much to ask for you to spend some time for this practice. Spend some time for your mental and physical health. Spend some time for your peace of mind. That's something very rare. Most people, they don't have peace of mind, right? They have money, but they don't have peace of mind. They have so many properties, vehicles, but they don't have peace of mind. It's something very rare. So if you can achieve that, if you can have that, it's a precious gift in this life, right? So that's the very idea. Thank you for listening, and we encourage you to continue with your practice.
Thank you, Bhante. That's the end of our topic, Unplug Yourself. And we will now move on to the Q&A session, where we'll also discuss present any reports. I will invite Anupama for this session now.
Thank you, Sonali, and Avasarai Bhante. I hope you can hear me clear. Yes, okay, thanks. So we will start off by recapping on the guide for mindfulness for beginners. Many of you must be already familiar with this, but for the benefit of those who would like to hear it again, we will go through it. As you can see in front of you on the screen, we advise or we encourage you to watch a couple of videos on mindful walking and mindful sitting, so you can get an idea of how to do these activities. Following this, you can allocate a small time daily to start practicing mindful walking and sitting. And we would encourage that you continue this for a few days until you complete about 2 hours of each practice in total. Once you have the 2 hours of practice, we would be most grateful if you could write a reflection report and share it with us for the benefit of yourselves and others. You can present it in a format of a question or a statement, and you can write down your experience, what you experienced during the mindful sitting and walking, as described in the guide given to you. Once you've written the report, you can submit it to us via a Google form or via our email, links of both which are in the guide in front of you. And following this, Bante will kindly give his feedback once we read the report at sessions like this. Thank you. I will now move on to the report that we've received for today, and it begins with mindful walking. Walked on cement floor, observed feet movements. Heat from floor felt underfoot. Noted few sharp grains of sand being pressed by feet. Noted the dislike arising in mind and observed how one foot quickly wiped those bits of sand away. Attention moved to feet, movements and weight shifting from side to side. Sounds arose and passed. Surrounding sights, not distracting. Felt the heat from sun as well as light wind. Noted the subtle want in mind to move to shady area of path. Interest in observing feet movements reduced. Just continue to walk with not much happening in mind. Walked for 1 hour. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion in a comfortable position. Attention moved to body posture. Noted heaviness in areas of body. Breath noted. In-breath cooler, out-breath warmer. Subtle breath observed with no temperature differences. Stillness and experience and lighter. Streams of thoughts arose and passed. Most were from the recent trip out of Colombo. Proliferations took place, but there was enough mindfulness to keep observing. Breath noted around nostrils again. Mind stayed with the rhythm of breath for a while. Alertness felt. Sensed the temporariness of anything in the mind and the feelings in the body. Breath has become subtle again. Sat for 1 hour. Mindfulness during the day. There were less opportunities for regular formal practice due to traveling outside Colombo in the last week of holidays. However, enough occasions were there during the day when the presence of mind arose. Observe Sil on Vesak day. On reflection, the mind was mostly in Dhamma and awareness of present moment that day. Enjoyment of worldly activities arose many times. The consequence of these activities also experienced. For example, fun activities and interactions quickly became memories. Some sadness arose with this awareness, which has also passed away after a while. Sense the hollowness of most events. Mind seemed to want calmness and contentment more than it wants excitable emotional experiences. This contemplation gave rise to lightness in mind for a while. Subtle impatience of wanting peace noted next. If impatience is the seed, how can peacefulness arise as the fruit? Humor can be a good teacher, as subtle impatience broke down with this insight. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you and the organizers. Theruvan Saranai, end of report.
Anupama, can you hear me?
Yes, Bhante, I can hear you.
I'm sorry, I got disconnected in between. I could only hear like half of the sitting report. You said something about stillness. That was the last word I heard.
Oh, okay, Bhante, let me find. Yes, I think I found a point. So I'll continue from there. Streams of thoughts arose and passed. Most were from the recent trip out of Colombo. Proliferations took place, but there was enough mindfulness to keep observing. Breath noted around nostrils again. Mind stayed with the rhythm of breath for a while. Alertness felt. Sense the temporariness of anything in the mind and the feelings in the body. Breath has become subtle again. Sat for 1 hour. Mindfulness during the day. There were less opportunities for regular formal practice due to traveling outside Colombo in the last week of holidays. However, enough occasions were there during the day when the presence of mind arose. Observed Sil on Vesak day. On reflection, the mind was mostly in Dhamma and awareness of present moment that day. Enjoyment of worldly activities arose many times. The consequence of these activities also experienced. For example, fun activities and interactions quickly became memories. Some sadness arose with this awareness, which also passed away after a while. Sense the hollowness of most events. Mind seemed to want calmness and contentment more than it wants excitable emotional experiences. This contemplation gave rise to lightness in mind for a while. Subtle impatience of wanting peace noted next. If impatience is the seed, how can peacefulness arise as the fruit? Humor can be a good teacher. Subtle impatience broke down with this insight. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you and the organizers, Theruvan Saranai.
Okay, thanks for repeating. We have some weather troubles here, so that's why the connection is bad today. Okay, so this way of practice is very, very appreciative. You know how to do the walking, you know how to do the sitting. Various things happen. For example, those stream of thoughts, right, about recent trips, events, those things are there. That is the behavior of the mind. That is how it works. So when they happen, you don't have to suppress them. It is like catharsis in your mind. So allow that process to happen. Allow that process to settle. Among these things, you know that you are breathing. Among these things, you know that you are seated. That very mindfulness is there. So that is enough, right? For a beginner, we say bring your attention to the breath. Bring your attention to the steps. Keep your attention there. Prioritize that. That way we say to a beginner. But once you understood how to bring your attention to the breath repetitively, once you know how to bring your attention to the feet repetitively, then you don't have to stay there all the time, right? It's like a fire assembly point. Those fire drills they do at factories and offices, right? So they do the labeling, they mark the floor, they put on a sign saying fire assembly point, and they do fire drills, training people. There's no fire. But still, they ring the bell, warning signs, and they ask people to stop their work and as soon as possible go to that assembly point. This training they do repetitively for many times they do. Every few months they remind themselves. So this is the preparation. You have to identify, you have to understand, you have to know the shortest path towards the fire assembly point. Right? But where? When you know the fire assembly point, when your training is complete, you can't always stay there. You can't take refuge at the fire assembly point. Then the factory won't function. The office activities will stop because you are always there. So that's what happens to the meditators. The breath is like a fire assembly point. The steps are like a fire assembly point. You know how to go there. You are familiar with the breath. You are familiar with the steps. But once the training, initial training is done, you don't have to stay there all the time. Right? So then the thoughts come. When the thoughts come, it's an opportunity for you to allow this mind to heal. It's more like catharsis in your mind. So these suppressed thoughts are there. Recent events, just the surface, but certain suppressed thoughts, emotions are there. If you are expecting to have real healing in the practice, you have to allow these suppressed thoughts, emotions to surface. When they surface, it's not pleasant, of course. That's true. It's not pleasant. You'd rather get rid of them. But the healing process is like that. The catharsis process is like that. That allowance, if you do, that openness, if you have, then you'll start to experience the real healing process in this practice. Most people, they don't experience because they are always dwelling in the fire assembly point. They are always insisting on the fire assembly point. That's not true. That's not how it works. When the thoughts come, the stream of thoughts come about recent events, distractions, various memories, emotions. When they appear, you have to allow that process to happen. You are not encouraging it. You are not going after it and trying to get these thoughts. That's not how it works. When thoughts naturally arise, when these emotions naturally arise, when these past incidents naturally arise, you have to let that process continue. Let it be. Right? That confidence you have to have in the practice. If you have that confidence, then only you will start to experience the real healing process in this practice. Otherwise, you are stuck. You are stuck with your breath. You are stuck with your steps. Right? That's just the initial part. That's just the initial part. So that confidence is there in your report. You are not trying to suppress these recent events, thoughts, streams of thoughts. You are not trying to suppress. You are open. That openness, that confidence is important. That way you can continue. And time to time, your mind, the behavior of it, is that you appreciate the silence more and more. You feel like these enjoyments, these things, although you do them because of the other family members, they are more like hollow, right? But these feelings are not permanent. That's what I want to highlight. Again, the same mind will go after enjoyment. Again, it would prefer loud music or the parties, right? That change will happen one day. The point is that when that change happens, you don't have to think that your practice is ruined. That's not how it works. At certain occasions, the mind is enjoying the silence, hollowness is experienced in those enjoyments, right? Again, after some time, the mind is chasing after the enjoyment. Again, after some time, it prefers the stillness or the silence. So this change will happen. It is moving again and again like a cycle. It is moving. Different phases are there, right? So you have to go through these different phases. When the mind is appreciating the silence, when the mind is appreciating the calmness, okay, just be conscious of it. When the mind is again going after enjoyment, and the mind is again going after loud noises, music, just be conscious of it. That very process, those very phases you have to go through. Right? And more you practice, you realize whether the mind is chasing after enjoyment, whether the mind is chasing after silence, it is not impacting you so much. Right? It's the same. It goes after silence. It goes after enjoyment. It's the same. Because you are no longer the mind. You are no longer this movement of your mind. Right? So that very ability should be developed gradually. So you are off to a good start. Now the mind is appreciating the silence, the calmness. Right? So that's good. But again, after some time, it may start appreciating the enjoyment. It may start going after loud noises. That too is fine. When that day comes, you just be conscious. okay, now the mind is chasing after enjoyment again. Now the mind is appreciating these loud noises, music again. That's fine. That's fine. That too won't be permanent. Again, the mind will appreciate the silence. Again, the mind will appreciate the enjoyment. This process is there. Again and again, moving back and forth with these different things. That very process we are trying to go through. We are trying to go through. Okay. So that's the way of the practice. Good luck with your practice.
Thank you, Bhante, for that wonderful advice. I think now that the report reading has come to an end, it's time to ask the participants whether they have any questions they would like answered or any comments they would like to make. If you raise your Zoom hand, we will invite you to unmute yourself and ask your question. There aren't any hands up at the moment. Yes, Nadeep, if you unmute yourself and ask your question, please.
Thanks, Anupama. Avasarai Bhante. Bhante, when we start our practice as a novice practitioner, we were instructed to, you know, be mindful of breath and be mindful of your walking. And then as we progress, be mindful of other daily activities and all the smaller activities we do, like brushing, writing, and eating particularly. So we started all those initial activities, and then as we progress again, we experience the different phenomena. For example, the clear idea of our thoughts and how it affects our body. And then how do we come to know, for example, from the Dhamma, actual Dhamma perspective, and also a little bit of a educational perspective as well, as we progress, what sort of thing we should start from the teaching of Buddha, like reading, what helps us to understand what is happening in our progress, and also what, because we are going through the path what Buddha advised. So what are the teachings of the Buddha that help us as we progress in our journey? Thank you so much.
Okay, although somebody else might answer differently, what I suggest is that as long as you continue your practice, that's the only thing you need, you know. These teachings, if you think about them, like 15,000 teachings are there in the Sutra Pitaka, I guess, right? So many teachings are there. But when you read into the history of them, it's just specific teaching given to a single person or a group, right? In this today's technology, we have everything in a tablet, right? Go on internet, you can find everything there, right? You can search the entire Tripitaka, right? So those facilities are there, those accumulation of knowledge, this information age, right? So that's there, you can access. But most people, what they do is they overwhelm themselves with the information. And at the end of the day, they haven't achieved anything because of that confusion, right? So if you know the practice, if you know what you are doing, that very continuation will let you experience all the necessary Dhamma teachings in your heart, right? So that's why they say there's only one book that's worth reading, the book of your heart. Right, that's the only book that's worth reading. right? So you have to understand the history behind these things, right? So many teachings are there, so many different explanations are there, but those were tailor-made, targeted teachings towards a single person or a group. And that teaching is the only thing they got. Okay, what we do is that we analyze all the different teachings, and we compare them. We improve our knowledge. We do PhD, various things. But at the end of the day, your practice is not grown, because you are utterly confused in the thoughts, in the knowledge, right? So the wisdom, it's a different faculty. This is more into the wisdom drive. It's not a knowledge drive, right? So that difference we have to understand. Most people, they think that knowledge is the wisdom. That's not true. It's the application, right? So when you practice, if you are doing your practice, that very practice is what you need. For example, now, few days ago, somebody was telling about, you know, the bodily nature. Water, fire, earth, air, right? The bodily components, right? So that person was explaining about a walking session, a sitting session. And in the sitting session, that person felt very heavy in the body, right? Very heavy. It was like a rock in the sitting session, right? Then after a while, that heaviness went away. Then again, this person returned to the usual breath observation. And this person was saying that I reflected on the different particles or the different natures of this body, the fire, the water, the earth, the air. This is how the body is made. I did this reflection towards the end of my meditation, right? So those reflections, they are knowledge. They help initially. But what happens is that it's funny, because that very sitting initial part, when that heaviness is felt, your body becomes like a rock. Although you don't know, that is the very earth nature of your body, right? Without knowing that, you just continue with the heaviness. But at the end of the day, you reflect on these different earth element, fire element, like that. But you have gone through that very experience earlier, so precious experience earlier, but you haven't even noticed, right? So this is how the knowledge can become a hindrance, right? That knowledge, it helps initially, but when you go into the practice, very experience is what matters. When the body is felt like that, like a rock, that heaviness, that is the very earth nature in your body. You don't have to go beyond and think about that earth nature. It has come already. You have experienced it, right? When the time is right, different elements appear. Different natures appear. That's how it is. That's how it should be. But we don't like that. We prefer reflecting on them, right? So that's the hindrance that knowledge can create. So as long as you practice, that should be fine, right? But to answer your question, whatever these type of discussions about the practice, even the Dhamma talks that are targeted towards the practice, right? Those things are important. Those things are important. So you have to have trust in some teacher, and you have to continue with that teacher. That's the way. Yeah, certain people, they have certain preferences. That's natural. Now, even somebody, he was asking, this very practice is there, right? But some people, they prefer different meditation techniques, like labeling, for example. They do a lot of labeling, right? Loving kindness meditation, a lot of inner labeling is created. I spread my loving kindness towards this person, this person, this person, this person, this person. That's their meditation. Never ending inner chatter, right? Encouraging inner chatter. So this person was asking, Bhante, when we sit, we are comfortable, we are silent. But why these other people, they prefer this noise in their mind? For the sake of meditation, they prefer the noise. Why do they do that? This person was asking. So I had to answer, no? So I told them that there's a buffet. Everything is offered, right? You go and you pick according to your preferences. The buffet is like the world. And when you look at your plate, it will represent you. The plate is a representation of unique you, right? So whatever offered in the buffet, it doesn't matter. You'll go and pick according to your own preferences. That's how it is. So some people prefer this practice. Some people hate this. But what can we do? Right? What can we do? We say, oh, this is the practice. If you like to do, do it. If you don't like, don't do it. You know, you don't need much in education or the knowledge in order to do this. Simply start somewhere, continue, and necessary knowledge, you will get through the practice. But some people, they prefer covering the 15,000 sutras before coming into the practice. That's their problem, right? So you have to allow them to do whatever they need. And only a little portion will select, will prefer the real practice. That's the nature of this world. The herd will go after something faulty, right? So I'm sure Nadeep doesn't have that problem. He's playing cricket. He's enjoying his life. He's not interested in studies. He's interested in purely practice.
Pandey, actually, what you just said immensely helped me, because I start practical training first and then start reading, because some of the words, even the Chief Pante sometimes in his sermons used, I never understood. So I happened to read something, especially these, you know, four elements. When Bhante, you know, talking about elements, I was thinking it should be someone with a highly transcendental state of meditation to, you know, understand those things. But when we share our experiences, I came to know that, okay, this word, you know, refers to that. For example, earth element, water element, air element, all those things. But we understood it through the nature of those elements, but not exactly actually, you know, rock or actually the very intrinsic, only through the very intrinsic nature, which come through our practice. So that actually helps. But later, you know, those to understand those words, some Pali words and real, not that I'm not saying that I don't understand single, I understood, you know, understand very well, but the for a person who does not have any kind of initial understanding of the Buddhism or the Sutta or anything, would really helpful, you know, a little bit of reading, I guess. But 100% agree with you with your answer. Like, no need to, you know, read it through all 15,000 books or 15,000 sutras. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, Mike, you know, playing cricket also helps. Our practical nature, I really appreciate, yeah, rather than, you know, reading.
Yeah, so that knowledge came through with time, right? Listening to the teachings, discussions, practicing. It takes some time. The necessary information will come. For example, even me, when I started, I had no idea about this practice, right? I started with meditation. And gradually, I got to know these words. Still, I'm not using much of them. Right, even today when I talk about practice, I prefer talking in, you know, simple language without technical words, right? Because main reason is I don't understand some of them, right? Even I don't understand. So that's how it is. It's a continuous process, learning process. There is a learning curve in this, but when you start with the practice gradually, you'll get necessary knowledge as well, even in those discussions, talks, meditation experiences. Those things accumulate a bit of knowledge as well, right? So that's how it is.
Thank you so much, Bhante.
Thank you, Nadeep, for that question, and Bhante for your answer. There's always a practical tips for us to take away, so I personally find it very helpful, so thanks again. Any other questions for Bhante, or any comments by anyone? I think that may be it. I can't see any hands raised. I think it's time to hand over to the hosts, maybe. Sonali, is that okay? I think that's the conclusion of the Q&A.
Yes, thank you, Anupama. And thank you to those who shared reports and asked questions. And I think since we're just slightly over time, it is now time to end the session. On behalf of the organizers, we'd like to thank Venerable Homa Gamadama Kosala Thero for his continued guidance for this program, and also to the Chief Abbot of Nisaranwanaya, Venerable Udayiriyagama Dhammajiva Mahathero, for initiating this program, and also to the organizers who are behind the scene, who are working tirelessly to make the program happen every week. May these merits help everyone, including Bhante and Chief Abbot Bhante as well, to practice, improve their own practice. And also, I would like to thank everyone who participated today via Zoom, and everyone who has joined via Facebook live stream, and everyone who may be downloading to watch later. And thank you, everyone. We will hope you all have a happy and mindful week ahead. We will now end the session.